Did you want to share that discussion with the rest of the class? We need to get someone in a ladder after Sunday school and change that light.
Your light out?
Yeah. I think we will get started in about a minute. If you're going to get your last cup of coffee, I think we're going to try to end a couple minutes early so we can clear the chairs out because the choir is going to practice for a little while after Sunday school. So I think if we can end, we're already starting 5 minutes late. So if we can end maybe 5 or 10 minutes early, we will clear the chairs out while other Sunday schools are finishing up. So there are outlines on the music stand at the back. Okay, why don't we open in prayer? Lord, we do thank you for the worship we've already had, Lord, the time of worship that we could come and gather together and sing and hear your word preached. Thank you for the message that Dave preached to us from Chronicles, and just, Lord, your love coming through in every word that is in your scripture. Pray that you'll help us as we look at this continued lesson on children and honoring parents. Just help us to look at your word with an open heart, and Lord, just show us what you'd have us to learn today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we left off last week. The outline looks similar, but I've added a few things and then ending it the same way, but stuck a few things in the middle. Some additional examples that we've talked about in other lessons. When we looked at David's life, we looked at some of the women of the Bible and men of the Bible and how they related to each other, husband and wife, but also in just examples God's given us. We're going to see later in their lives how their children honored or did not honor them and things that came about as a result of that. We're going to look at a few of those examples. But we looked last week at this idea of the command in the Ten Commandments, both Exodus when God spoke to Moses and Deuteronomy when Moses was speaking to the people. And we saw the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which your Lord your God gives you. And then we looked at the New Testament in Ephesians. It starts with children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then the command, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And then Colossians, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And what did we talk about? We talked about this concept of obey and honor. Is there anybody in this group that still ought to be obeying their parents? Why is Kendall smiling at that? Or are we beyond the age where we are in that category of children who are to obey their parents? Because we talked about this idea, I think everybody in here is probably beyond that stage. As adults, we are responsible for our own actions, where as children, we have this protection of obeying our parents and having the protection of following their direction. Now, we're not supposed to follow them into sin if there's clear sin. We're not supposed to obey them if it's harmful or abusive. There's exceptions when you look at Scripture and look at God's commands on parents and children, but also just believers in general. But there's this concept of obeying as children and honoring throughout life. So we're to honor, regardless of our age, our father and our mother. And we looked at that in a number of different ways. The thing I added in here in the first part of this is the verse from Proverbs, or verses from Proverbs. I enjoy the study of Proverbs, and we've looked at that in other Sunday school classes. But Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, this idea of those verses are there. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. And when you look at that, hearing the instruction of your father, we're going to look at Proverbs when it turn to parents, but also the not forsaking your mother's teaching, this idea of both father and mother are to be teaching and instructing their children, and the children are to be listening. One of the things we looked at in this word obey, does anybody remember when we looked at the definition of the word obey, some of the, from last week's, if you have last week's outline, we looked at the Greek and the difference, the different words that that could mean. And some of it was, does anybody remember? It relates to this idea in verse 8 of Proverbs 1, how children are to be. Yes. Anybody? It's this idea of listening attentively to, or hearkening to, or hearing what they say. You know, standing there and hearing, and not only hearing, but with it's like extra care, extra listening, making sure you listen. And this is the same concept here in Proverbs 1, 8, and 9, of a youth to their father and their mother, of hearing it. And what is the result in Proverbs for the child in hearing this? The father's instruction and the mother's teaching, what are they related to in verse 9 of Proverbs 1? Pardon me? Long life, yes, and honoring in the promise of God in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Ephesians repeated, also Christ's teaching, honoring the long life. But in Proverbs 1, 9, what are they? What are these symbols? Yeah.
They will adorn your own life.
Yeah, that's right. Honor, as Rana said, honoring and adorning. They're symbols of honor in your own life. They'll adorn your own life with this idea of the graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. It's a sign of, a symbol of honor and life to the child. The father's instruction, the mother's teaching. So the way Scripture works together, and you see as you go through Scripture and reading it together as a whole, how things work together. It's the same way when Dave preaches. A lot of times what he preaches, and then I talk to the Sunday school teachers what their lessons are about that day, more often than not, it relates together. It all comes together in the same lesson or the same idea. A lot of it's because we're all teaching from Scripture, and it all is instruction for correction, for reproof, all those things. But anyway, this idea of not only are honoring our parents with a promise, but this also, it will be a wreath about our head, ornament about our neck, a sign of honor and life in our own lives. We looked in it at Eli's sons, and we were wrapping up, but I don't think we finished with what God actually did as a result of Eli's sons, but they were brought to destruction in I took out the reference, 1 Samuel 2, I believe, the verses here 22 through 25, where it says, now Eli was very old. He had heard that all his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of the meeting. He said to them, why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. When you look at this, when Dave was preaching today about Saul and his sin in God's, and the resulting of that sin was God's taking the kingdom from him, and it was God who put him to death. You know, you look over and over again at people and their lives in examples in the Old Testament, especially, of some event in their life that God still used them, but they lost out on a blessing that they might have otherwise had. You know, think of Moses, who in his one sin, he did not go into the promised land. We think of here, Saul, where God's plan was never to have the kingdom of, you know, Christ, line of Christ go through Saul, but God had given him the kingdom, but then took it away from him for the sin that he had committed against God. Moses' sin was against God. These sons of Eli sins against God. And you look at 1 Samuel 3, and it's the Lord speaking to Samuel what was going to happen to the line of Eli. Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. They had gone beyond that point of redemption for that iniquity. And we had questioned whether Eli last week had rebuked them. Here God's telling Samuel, Eli had not rebuked him. So, we're now caught up. We're with Isaac, where we left off last week. So, we're looking at Isaac. Who was Isaac? Tell me something about Isaac. He was Abraham and Sarah's son. And, pardon me? Was sacrificed to Moriah. And I've got an age in here. I just put some facts about Isaac. I put at about age 30, he went to Mount Moriah with Abraham to be sacrificed. There's discrepancy on that. There's no age in Scripture. But he certainly was old enough to carry some of the wood and help his father. We're not sure. This is based on Jewish history, his age of 30, and it's anywhere from 13. I've seen anywhere from 13, some have said as young as 7, but up to age 30. So that's a guess. It's not. You're not going to find that age in Scripture. But how long did he live with his parents before he was married? Well, he was 40 before the servant was sent to find him a wife, right? So Abraham sent a servant to find Isaac a wife, went back to their people where Abraham had come from, and found Rachel, his cousin. And this was, when you look at that story of how God provided, because they sought God's direction before they did anything and waited. What was it Saul didn't do? He didn't wait. He sought God's direction, but when he heard no answer, when he wanted it, he went to the medium. He took things in his own hands. And we look over and over again at Scripture when people took things in their own hands, and therefore ended up doing things that and had not waited on God's answer for his perfect answer. And we look at it, we'll see it, you know, you see it in Jacob's life, we see it in many others, we see it in Abraham and, Isaac and Rachel's life. We're going to look at it in a second. But here is an example of Isaac, a man who I would say honored his parents in the, he did in that culture what he was supposed to do in working in the family business. You know, they all lived in the same area, and so I say lived with his parents. He may have had his own tent, I don't know, but certainly followed his parents and honored them when it was time for him to have a wife. He honored them, and honoring their way of choosing his wife and is really seeking God's direction. But you know, for 20 years it says, then afterwards Isaac prayed for and probably with Rachel for children. And it was age 60 where Jacob and Esau were born. He was 60. At age 75, his father Abraham died, and he inherited everything. And so you see Isaac and his life and how he honored his parents, and then you follow his life history of what happened after that, and see how God worked. He lived also a long time, but I think it's a very good example of a man who honored his parents, and even through up until his father's death. He also saw a lot. When you look at Isaac and his life, compare it side by side with Abraham and Sarah, you see some of the same type of events coming up in Isaac's life that happened with Abraham and Sarah. Because what did Abraham do with Sarah? What's that? Right. Twice. Right? He lied and said it was his sister and caused problems. What did Isaac do later with Rachel? He did the same thing. And you know, it got him in similar trouble when he went down to Egypt. So there are times when Isaac fell in the same sins his parents had, but, you know, I think it's you know, he had seen some of the same events and maybe hadn't learned from them, but I also think it's an example of him honoring his parents. I say grandparents next, which I've skipped down to Jacob. What happens when parents disagree, and how is a child, or how are we to honor our parents when there's conflict in the parents? You know, what did Jacob do? We can look at it. It's in Jacob's life, in Genesis 26 and 27, if you want to flip over there, we can go through it quickly. And you can use that as your help. But when you look at Jacob, who Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, who did God promise would be the heir, or the who would have the birthright, the one who would succeed Isaac as the you know, like a firstborn would have been. I mean, Esau was firstborn, right? Esau's of their twins. But the blessing of the successors to the family inheritance and who would be the leader of the family was to Jacob. When was that promise made? When he was born. And who is it made to? And so we see this promise made by God to Rachel. Isaac also would have known about it, I'm sure, that the birthright and the blessing of the successor was going to go to Jacob. But what did Isaac do? He favored the other one. He was a hunter. He was the, you know, man's man, and Jacob was the one who tended the business and lived in the tents. You know, and you see this distinction of Jacob loved more by Rachel, Esau loved more by Isaac. And we'll talk about that on the parenting, when we get to parenting a little bit. But it caused problems. But did Jacob honor his parents? That's what I want to get to. And what's that? He certainly honored his mother. He may not have honored his father. You know, I think when you look at this example, you know, Jacob resisted his mother's instruction of what he was supposed to do, because he's like, my father's going to recognize me. I'm not a hairy man. And so she disguised him. He's going to hear my voice. And it was almost his voice that gave him away, or maybe, in fact, did give him away when Isaac recognized what he was doing. Because at some point, Isaac realized what had happened, and what was... Let me just back up. I'll give you the, you know this story. But Jacob followed his mother's instructions and went in and deceived his father. And then his father at some point recognized what he had done, either when he was blessing Jacob or later when Esau came in. But when Esau came in, Isaac's reaction was what? Do you remember? He was distraught. He trembled. He was fearful of what he had done. And it doesn't explain everything about why, but then he could not bless Esau. When you look at Hebrews Where does it say? Hebrews. This is why I should use the yellow highlighter. Somebody turn to Hebrews 11. So when I find the verse, Hebrews 11, 20. Somebody have Hebrews 11, verse 20. Mike, did you find it? Can you read that?
By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he learned on the top of his staff, as he leaned on the top of his staff.
So we have Isaac in Hebrews talks about by faith he blessed Jacob and Esau. Because he did give Esau a blessing also. So that blessing was attributed to Jacob as an act of faith, where at some point he recognized, and it's not clear because his voice, and when you read that story, Jacob's voice, it wasn't the tone of his voice necessarily, it was what he said, because his voice was, you know, he attributed something to God, bringing him the deer so quickly that he could make the venison. It was God's blessing, and Esau apparently would not have said it that way. And so some have said that Jacob or Isaac recognized at that point and then went ahead and blessed Jacob the way he was supposed to have done. But I'm looking at this concept of what are we to do when our parents disagree? How are we to honor them? And I think, you know, you see Jacob's struggle here of who he was to obey, who he was to honor. Was he honoring both his parents in doing this? And it's hard to understand that situation. But I think we as parents have a responsibility. When you look at parenting, I think it points out this idea of how we are to not cause our children to stumble and how we are not to cause our children to be exasperated. When you look at, you know, fathers not exasperating their children, yes.
I wonder what Rebecca's motive was. It seems like her motive is to promote Jacob, not necessarily to be obedient to God.
Right.
But if that was her motive, and she realized that Isaac wasn't doing what God had told him to do.
Well, you look at Rebecca's life, she never hesitated in what she, you know, when something was coming up, she acted. And this is another instance when she heard what Isaac was going to do, or it was told her what Isaac was about to do, Rebecca acted to prevent, because she knew what God had promised, and something looked like it was about to happen. What if she had not done it? It's always interesting to me to think about, and I don't know, you can't say, but God is all-powerful, he would not have allowed Esau to have been the one that God's blessed instead of Jacob. So Jacob would have been blessed according to God, but in this sense, Rebecca, I may have said Rachel throughout this, I get all those names, but Rebecca and Jacob also acted on their own. They took matters into their own hand, the way Saul did. You know, the interesting thing is there's no mention in Scripture of that, any criticism in Scripture of that act other than to state what had happened or any seeming ramifications of it. But because Isaac then came around and realized and then continued with what he should have done. So can we as children, as of our parents, not in the obeying stage, the honoring stage, give correction to our parents? You know, how do we do that? In an honoring way. And this may be, you know, Jacob, there's one instance when he said, well, you know, he hesitated about what his mother was telling him to do. And it was more of a I'll get caught seemingly type of reaction, but it may have also been a warning to her of, you know, I can't honor my father in this way. It's not clear. But I think we certainly can, and there are scriptural ways of how we can still honor our parents, but provide some sort of, you know, not rebuke or instruction, but some sort of assistance in working through conflict. But it's a hard thing because, as many of you know with who are caring for older parents, it can be a very difficult thing to correct a parent and still honor them. You have examples of men who have businesses and their parents work for them. You know, what happens when, you know, something happens and you may have to fire a parent? You know, if you can't imagine that kind of situation. But if you do it in an honoring way, and I still think it can be done, and as a honor them through living according to, you know, what God's commands, and having your whole life honoring both God and then honoring them in the same way. There are difficult situations that come about. I want to look at one other situation as an example, and then look at the last of Christ's teaching on this topic. But 1 Kings 1. Remember when we talked about David and Michal, or Michal, I never know how that's pronounced, his wife Michal, who was Saul's daughter. So David's first mention of a wife is Michal when Saul gave her to him for his might in battle against the Philistines, I believe. Later on, we used him as an example, David and Michal, of how husband and wife should not talk to each other because when he danced before the people, she was embarrassed and said something really nasty to him, and he retorted just the same way back, and it said she never had children again from that point forward. What happened to Michal? Anybody know? She married someone else, and then later on, David said, I want bring her back. And it was when Abner, remember General Joab was general for David, Abner was general for Saul, and after Saul's death, Abner wanted to make peace with David, and the peace offering was to bring Michal back. And so you see Michal being brought back with her husband weeping after her until Abner sent him home. But he did it apparently not, because she still didn't have children up to that point. But you see David's life and whether he honored God in his life. We use him as an example a lot, but it was interesting to see some of this continuing story of David. Whose son was Solomon's? David and Bathsheba. In fact, the baby, right after the baby who died because of their sin, the next son was Solomon, was born to them. But then David had many other wives. Remember the Abigail and Nabal? Is that the story we talked about where Abigail prevented David from slaughtering their family because her husband had returned David away, said, who am I going to give you food? You're a rebel against the king. And Abigail came and brought him a big feast. Well, what happened to Abigail? She became David's wife, because 10 days later, after she told Nabal, her husband, what had happened, he died. God killed him. And so, but you see David adding his wives. Here in 1 Kings, I just want to walk through this, because what was David unable to do that he wanted to do for the Lord? Build the temple. Why? Yeah, I mean, God said, that's not what I want you to do. I want, it was going to be his son Solomon. But God's plan was for Solomon to be king after David. And we're going to see what happened with David and some of his children. Absalom's a big one, who didn't honor his parents because David's son Absalom tried to set up a kingdom to overthrow David. And then ended up getting killed by what I guess Joab, but I digress. But David, in his failure to instruct his children, brought about some other results that almost, in a worldly sense, seemed to almost lost the kingdom, but God intervened. So let's look at these verses. 1 Kings 1, David's very old. But I want you to look at this and pull out from here those examples of when you see someone not honoring their father. But now King David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, and that your lord may the king may keep warm. So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout the territory of Israel and found Abishag, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she became the king's nurse and served him, but the king did not cohabit with her. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggath, this is one of David's wives and sons, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born after Absalom. He had conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and following Adonijah, they helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoeleth, which is beside En-Rogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. So here's Adonijah trying to take over the kingdom, getting some of the leaders, the priesthood, and some of the other leaders, the Joab, to go along with him, and not telling Nathan the prophet or Solomon. But Nathan intervened, went to Bathsheba, and went to Solomon, and they intervened in this, anointed Solomon king, and went to David, who confirmed that Solomon was king after him, and then came to Adonijah. And in verse 49, then all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they rose and each went on his way. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose, went, and took hold of the horns of the altar. Now it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, 'Let Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with a sword.'" Solomon said, "If he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die." So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, "Go to your house." But then, just a short time later, in 1 Kings 2, now Adonijah, the son of Haggath, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Peacefully." Then he said, "I have something to say to you." And she said, "Speak." So he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel expected me to be king. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I'm making one request of you, do not refuse me." And she said to him, "Speak." Then she said, "Please speak to Solomon the king, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as a wife." Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak to the king for you." What do you think happened? Solomon started establishing his kingdom. Because this treachery, according to Solomon, why was it treachery? Why was it not honoring his father David, or Adonijah, and not honoring his brother Solomon, the guy who the Lord put in control, for him to come to Solomon's mother and ask this woman be given him? Well, what happened was Solomon viewed this as treachery, that he no longer was a worthy man, but wickedness was found in him and had him put to death. And it was Benaiah who went and killed him. So this idea of not honoring his parents, I think when you look at and what some commentaries have said in this, and it's not explained other than to say this was viewed as treachery by Solomon and not worthiness and not honoring, was that he was asking for his father's wife. Because in a sense, this Abishag was a concubine, although it wasn't confirmed in any way, of King David. And his son was asking for his father's wife, which was an abomination in one of the commands. But that's the closest I can get to it of why this was viewed as treachery. But certainly, the I think more important point in Adonijah's life was his father never corrected him. His father never instructed him. He decided to go set up the kingdom for himself, clearly not honoring, while David was still alive, tried to overthrow his, you know, take over the kingdom and not honoring. And his life was not very long as a result. You know, he was not a long-lived son of David. Who was long-lived son of David? Solomon, you know, who clearly honored his father and mother, and but in this case, corrected his mother. And so we see an example here. What I was trying to pull out, and it may be a little bit of a stretch as I pull this together, but Adonijah, who was not corrected by his father, did not honor his father or mother, but certainly not his father, the king, didn't. And then Solomon had the chance to peacefully, gently correct his mother in what she was doing in trying to gain this woman for Adonijah. And then Solomon's life was long-lived, Adonijah's was not. There are other examples, but I want to look at one other thing. Matthew 15, this idea of honoring parents, a lifetime commitment. Can somebody read Matthew 15, 1 through 14, there in the outline? Could I get you to read? Yeah. So this is Jesus correcting the Pharisees. And what is he saying about this command? Honor your father and mother. And then he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. How did the Pharisees twist that around on and not honor their parents and thereby cast out the law? What were the Pharisees saying? Right. So I'm sorry I put that in the offering plate today. Yeah. You're not going to eat, Mom and Dad, today because I gave that to God. Yeah. That's right. In front of everybody. That's right. They threw it in from the, you know, long shot, three-point shot. But this idea of using an excuse, God's offering or giving to God as a reason not to care for honor their father and mother, was the sin they were doing, the hypocrisy that they were exhibiting of twisting the law in, you know, for their own glory, for their own benefit. Is this saying that we, if we can only support our parents in their old age or when they need support financially, that we should take it out of the offering and not give it as an offering or tithe? Yeah. Right. Right, right. It was their heart. That's right. I would say that's not an instruction on that I'd suggested might have been, but it's not. That is, it was their heart condition of not caring for their parents and using God's offering as an excuse. Yeah, which is, you know, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira when they, you know, lied to God about their offering. You know, the Pharisees were on treacherous, on dangerous ground. But then you look at 1 Timothy, just, you can read that on your own, on honoring widows. What is God's plan for the church in taking care of widows? Whose responsibility is that? First of all, this teaching is who is truly a widow in that category that should be cared for, but who's first responsible? Whose first line of responsibility is that? The children. That's right. And that way the church isn't burdened with that, although I think it doesn't relieve the church if there's a widow in need from that, but certainly the children are the ones who are responsible first for caring for the needs for, if they're able to, a widow. So our idea of honoring our parents, not only with our actions, but with our, if we have the ability to honor them by providing for them when they need financial assistance, but also for caring for them, for loving them throughout their life in a way that honors them. But I think also, are we honoring them by teaching our children what they taught us, you know, if they were believers, but teaching our children about God and then living our lives, what we do, what we say, where we, how we work, everything we do, honoring our, both our earthly parents and our Heavenly Father, I think is a responsibility of all, this fifth commandment and all throughout Scripture of how we're to honor our parents. Any other thoughts on that? And I did not end early. Yes, I'm sorry, Barb. Yes. Well, Rachel, Abraham sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. That was Rebecca. Isaac's wife was Rebecca. She was the one who was found, and that servant found and took care of the servant's need without being asked, or, you know, watered all the camels. And then Rebecca was also then, Isaac and Rebecca had Jacob and Esau. So Rebecca was the one who then deceived Isaac, yes. Yeah. Well, and that's right. Rebecca was certainly, in her mind, I think, trying to honor God's promise and taking things in her own hands to make sure God's promise was effective, not trusting God to do it. God did provide that promise. You were going to say something, Marie? Okay. Yeah.
Her wife disobey her husband? Yeah, and her husband's going against God's word.
Yeah, she might have been, you know, protecting her family, protecting Isaac too, seeing him about to do something God had said was not to happen. There are a lot of things that you could explain, but yeah, we'll ask that question when you get up there and find out the real answer. Yes. Oh, yeah. 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 Well, the good one thing I can say about Isaac, he only had one wife. And, you know, so I'm not suggesting it would have been better, it wouldn't have been so dysfunctional. But even in this example of, you know, for example, look at David's life, and it's worse than Dallas, you know, the Dallas TV show. When you look at everything that happened in David's life, it's crazy. All the sin and corruption and backbiting and killing and heartbreak that took place. But when you still had this dysfunction of, and it was brought about by parents, you know, loving one child more than the other, and not following God's plan. And that, yes, there's something else back there. We need to wrap up. Now I'm going late. I promised I'd end early. So let's come back to that next week. Lord, thank you again for all you've done for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples you've given us that we can ponder these things, but also, Lord, see you working and see your promises fulfilled even in the lives of sinful people. Lord, just pray that you'll continue to lead and direct us, continue to help us as we serve you, seek to serve you in all we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.